Good morning, everyone. Happy to be here. Unfortunately, Linda can't be here. Ron can't be here. And lo and behold, I'm here. So I'm going to give it my best. I do have, as you mentioned in my introduction, a disclosure. I'm co-founder and director of applied research of Cognito Interactive. So I do have a horse in this race, if you will. The objective of the study we did with AAP is to examine the acceptability and feasibility of virtual reality technology to train physicians around motivational interviewing. The motivational interviewing has been widely used in the treatment of substance abuse and other problems, and we wanted to see if physicians would be willing to learn MI in a virtual environment. Do they feel that they have the time to do it? Will they be motivated, and so on? So this is an NIH-funded phase one study that was done with AAP. And of course, we all know the problem, don't we? That a large percentage, it's more than one-third of children and adolescents are either overweight or obese. This costs well over $100 billion a year, and it's comorbid with a lot of other problems we know with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, that will have lifelong consequences on the individual, physical and mental health. And we also know that pediatricians are the front line. They're there working with the children, working with the parents, so they are integral in terms of making effective changes in the child's life and in their obesity or overweight conditions. So the challenge, number one, is meeting the recommendations of AAP. That is, they are recommending that in all child care visits that you calculate BMI with children over two, you plot it, you track it, you keep the record, and you provide counseling on nutrition and physical activity. With that idea, as I mentioned, motivational interviewing has shown a lot of promise as an effective strategy in a clinical setting. It doesn't take very long, which is for those people who are very time conscious, which obviously pediatricians are. And many pediatricians or many physicians don't know about MI, or if they do know about MI, they don't know where to get it, or if they have to get it, it's long distance away, it's a full-day workshop or a two-day workshop, so there's a lot of barriers to actually receiving the training. Okay, I mentioned it's costly, it's time, geography. So there are innovative approaches that are needed in training pediatricians and others, by the way, in terms of integrating MI in their communication skill sets. So that's where Cognito comes in. We are a company that has developed virtual reality training simulations based on a human interaction game engine. This game engine actually places learners in a virtual environment and they interact with emotionally responsive avatars that have memory, they have personality, they react like real people. So it's really providing online realistic role plays. You're practicing, and what you were mentioning about e-learning, and it's not an effective way of changing behavior, you're right. So this platform actually engages adult learning theory, aspects of social learning theory, and neuroscience in crafting these environments and allowing you to role play with these avatars again and again and again to get the self-confidence to feel more prepared and likely to change behaviors. And we've shown that this has worked in suicide prevention skills. We've shown it to work in terms of increasing patients' compliance to treatment guidelines in congestive heart failure and in diabetes, and a number of different applications. So we're really excited to apply this to obesity control of training physicians. And this feasibility study was designed to address that. The first component was participants viewed a 10-minute virtual reality-based video on MI, and then a 15 to 20-minute interactive module that I'm going to show you very shortly. Now, we don't have a module aimed at pediatricians right now. This is the phase one study. You know, should we have one? Will it work? Do pediatricians agree that this is a great learning model? And so we chose to select a piece of a program called Family of Heroes, which is a PTSD resiliency training simulation for the families of returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, if your loved one comes back with post-deployment stress, like PTSD, depression, suicide ideation, substance abuse, you have no idea sometimes as a family member what to do. You know, you're overwhelmed, you don't know what to say, you don't know if you're going to make the situation worse. So this simulation was developed with VISN 3. VISN is Veterans Integrated Service Network. VISN 3 is in lower New York State, New Jersey. So we partnered with the VA to provide this role play simulation for the families to give them more resiliency and a capability to motivate their veteran to seek help should they need it. So let me go ahead and actually... Okay, so we had 35 pediatricians recruited through relevant AAP membership groups. They were representative of those who practice in the general population from rural and suburban practice settings. All provide direct patient care, 57% female, 44 years mean age, and hardly none of them had prior MI skills training. And the results showed a high degree of acceptability to this whole learning model, this whole idea of role-playing with a virtual patient and getting feedback on how well you're doing, where we see 100% expressed interest in using it, and 97% agreed that the simulations with emotionally responsive avatars can be effective. And by the way, there's a whole other conversation of why avatars are better than real humans, the kind of insulation they provide, the kind of reduces transference, which interferes with learning. There's a whole neuroscience type of backing in choosing avatars. And if you ever heard of Something Valley. Oh, why can't I remember that? Uncanny Valley, which means if the avatars look too realistic, it begins to compromise learning. So you have to keep them at a certain neutrality to be able to engage in the storyline, to learn the MI strategies. And so some of the thoughts that came about as a result from the pediatricians when I started doing it, I thought, wow, this is really happens to me in everyday practice. Now, I'm sure he doesn't have Dave in everyday practice and Cindy, but I'm not quite sure he's responding to that or the prior MI discussion. I was surprised at how sophisticated the technology was, and it is an advanced gaming engine that drives this, and how easy it was to interact with the screen. Mind you, now, these are pediatricians. They don't have much time to put into training. They were... In terms of innovation, quality of technology, the caliber, that they commented on the caliber of the simulations, the realism of the avatars, and that they really can imagine themselves talking with these virtual humans, if you will. You can just take out your device and do this anytime. Whether you're in a rural area or a big center, it's available. And each one of these training simulations senses where your zip code is and can push to you local help resources, to help families and children in terms of obesity control, or if it's in mental health counseling, or if you're training faculty to detect students in psychological distress, where that counseling center is located. And so it gives you whatever type of information that's pertinent to you, whether you're in Texas or in Virginia or in Utah. I don't have to go anywhere. I can just do it anytime I want. And by the way, that's another big thing about virtual role plays, is that they're standardized, okay, personalized feedback, and you can do them at home in private. How embarrassed are people sometimes in role plays? You know, they're difficult. They're bulky to do sometimes. So it kind of takes that bias or that confound out of the learning experience. And the good news for you is that AAP is releasing a 20-minute simulation for pediatricians in January. It will be done, and it will be free of charge to anybody in the country. So if you would like to get a copy of it, if you could give me your email address, and in January I'll just send you the link and you can go to it. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So I finished up early.
You did. My goodness.
Do I have time for questions?
You do.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Any questions for Dr. Albright?
I do. did it such a no question. Yeah.
That was so exciting to see, and I was just commenting to Nancy that I could see how this could apply in role playing for cultural competence.
Those
kinds of skills.
That's exactly what we're doing with our Veterans on Campus program, where this is part of it. Okay, where we're training. Because of all the veterans coming back to campus, right? There's like 900,000 veterans in the GI Bill post 9/11, and part of the training is developing within faculty and staff a military cultural competency, so they better understand what these people are coming back. They're not 18-year-old freshmen; they've been through a lifetime of experiences, and they shouldn't be treated accordingly.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes,
yeah.
See, that was, this is a feasibility study, as just do they like the modeling and so on. But just to answer your question more directly, please notice that this Family of Heroes, you can get it www.familyofheroes.com, and if you're right part of the country, you can get it, like, is NREPP listed, National Registry of Evidence-Based Programs and Practices. So a lot of the simulations are in NRAPs, do demonstrate behavioral change, and that's what's so critical. I mean, that's what everybody in the assessment field demands now, is do the outcome measures result in behavioral change? And so we validated an assessment of gatekeeper training based on behavioral change. It depends on the length of time and of the simulation and the amount of media that puts into it. We're a small company in New York City. We have like 30 employees there, and so it takes like maybe 6 months to make the training. So it's a pretty fast turnover. So to make one customized training, it could be like 20 minutes long. I'm just quoting. I'm not a business person at all. Like maybe $150,000, $200,000. And most of all these training simulations are licensed by either like the State Departments of Health or in the case of the VA or DOD or something of that nature. So it's a license and they make it free to everybody. No, don't we wish. No, but you know, the neat thing about finding the SMEs in the field is that they really get to see their knowledge come to life. And they really enjoy the process. And they're not writing the scripts or anything, because we have professional writers, and we send it back to them, you know, and they get input as well as end users on how the characters look, the nonverbal type of language that's going on. So it's a lot of fun.
It's a really good price range, I think, actually, considering the company that I work for, produces, it's not the part that I work in, but
yeah, it is. Right, you're right, and like when you think all the cost is up front. So with this Family of Heroes, this is an example, 66,000 people have taken it in Vision 3 so far. And it's like pennies per person.
Thank you so much,
Thank you. Thank you.